Welcome everybody to 5D Academy of Higher Consciousness. I'm Zarathustra, broadcasting live from Toronto, Canada. So, the most powerful teaching that I've experienced and I realized is not really in the words, not what I say. So, it's really in silence. And we used to start the academy with like a 15 minutes, 20 minutes meditation in silence, and then I would speak. And then we changed it for a while. But the bottom line is that silence is your power. And silence, once you just go into inner silence, and the more you become quiet, the more you sink in within yourself, the more you get activated. You're activating forces within yourself that lead you to a higher consciousness. Speaking and talking and blah, blah, blahing from the mind, it keeps you in a lower vibrational frequency. So it keeps you in a world of duality. The world is real. The world is harsh. It's unfair and all kinds of different things happen. But as you become more quiet and you become more still, and disengage yourself from the world of mind, the world, the material world, which is the world of mind, and you disengage yourself from its happening, is what's going on in it, in its activities. So you're disengaging from it. You're becoming sort of ignorant to it or indifferent to it. And that is, in the beginning, is a very important part of your path. But the mind comes and the people around you come and tell you that, how can you be ignorant to what's going on in the world? How can you be indifferent to the suffering in the world? How can you just not care? And therefore, you're not a spiritual being, you're actually very selfish and you're a narcissist. However, all the biggies, every single awakened being, anyone who has reached the highest peaks of consciousness, they have come to self-realization and they realized that the oneness is who they are. And let's say their consciousness merged in with God's consciousness. However you want to put it, however words you want to use, and articulate it, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is that by disconnecting from the world and being indifferent to it, yeah, you could be perceived as being ignorant, but it doesn't matter because you know what you're doing and you're reverting, you're going inwards and you're focusing on the world within and you're becoming more quiet. Because you're not allowing your mind to get engaged with the world's activities, which its activities based on big swings of duality, going from extreme from one end to another and coming back. Everything's good, everything's bad. There's a peace, war, life, death, and this and that. So you're kind of seeing it, you're aware. Your awareness does not change. You're completely aware and awake as what's going on. But that engagement with the world's affairs starts to kind of, you start to disconnect from it. You begin to distance yourself from it. And that's very, very important at your spiritual growth, because there's a point that you have to disengage and just bring your attention inwards. And as you do this, what happens? Why we do that? Why all the biggies do that? Why the awakened ones do it? Is because they realize the less they're involved in the world of thoughts, the less they're involved in the Maya, the samsara, the world that appears to be real, including your body, including your mind, including your thoughts. They all appear to be real. So the more you disengage and you go inwards, the more you discover inner peace, because your mind's not activated and it's not involved with the world's affairs. And slowly you begin to disengage from your own mind and your emotions and your body. Now, that doesn't mean disengaging from your own mind that you are doing positive thinking or you're trying to not acknowledging what is going on. Yes, you are disengaging from the mind, the monkey mind, but you use the working mind for your daily affairs. If you are going to be traveling and going somewhere and you need to book a ticket, an Airbnb, and rent a car, that's your working mind, which is a tool available to you. But the monkey mind is the one that is never here. It's in the past, it's in the future, it's worried, and it's got a full-on BBC or CNN news broadcasting 24 hours a day, whether you're awake or asleep. So you become ignorant to that and you're not paying attention to it, even though it will come up with some really interesting dramas or stories, but you don't pay attention to it. And then of course your emotions come and go. One day you feel really good, one day you feel like you're worthless and you're not good enough and you're wasting your life and blah, blah, blah. So you're up and down and you begin to disengage from them too. Not by numbing your feelings, not from trying to escape how you feel. You don't do that. You feel all your emotions, but you don't acknowledge that they are yours. When they're there, you feel them 100%. If I'm sad, I am sad. If I'm angry, I'm angry. But I have the know-how to acknowledge that sadness is here as an emotion and I'm experiencing it. But that's not who I am. So you learn to practice of not saying I am sad, but saying that sadness is here and sadness is visiting me. Then that emotion doesn't have any power on you. It's here, you're feeling it, and then it leaves. It cannot stay there because you have reclaimed your true nature. You have reclaimed who you are and you're awakening to the truth of your being. And what is the truth of your being? The truth of your being is the I am, that which is always here, that which does not change, and that which is always aware. So when the sadness comes, the truth of who you are, the witness, is here. It's observing it and it's being sensing it through the senses, but it's not identified with it. It's not claiming it, it's me. It remains and understands its own identity. And its identity is simply to be aware. And its identity is when it's there to sense it, to feel it. Majority of the teachings on this planet are going to be teaching you how not to feel, how to fix your feelings, either by numbing yourself or by keep working on your childhood issues and traumas, but it's all happening in the mind. So what happens is you're re-strengthening, you give more energy and more power to your mind. So the problem would never go away. It just keeps coming back. And you take another course and another course and another book and another therapy and blah, 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 blah. But you don't become free. Here, we're interested in freedom. And the freedom is already here. It's not like you're in a prison and you have to break through that prison. No. What you have to do is you recognize that you're never in the prison. You're already free. You have just temporarily have fallen into a sleep and a coma and believing that you're your thoughts. believing that your emotions, believing that you're in this body. And if this body dies, that means the end of you. You have forgotten that the true you is the I am. I am, not I am this, not I am that, simply I am. And it's always here. And this part cannot be touched. It doesn't get sad, it doesn't get happy, it doesn't get lonely, it doesn't get excited. It's not being born, it's not gonna die, it's always here. And that part, you notice it when your mind's quiet, when there are no thoughts, and with a little bit of instructions to recognize it. Somebody is pointing out to you that, hey, pay attention to this. This is your true nature, and you're always here. And it's extremely easy to examine it, because can you ever not be here? Can you ever be somewhere else? In your imagination, you can be somewhere else. You can daydream. So you can go to somebody's lecture, and you're listening to somebody, and the person who's lecturing, they're kind of boring. They have a monotone voice, and they're just not capturing the audience. So what happens is that you start daydreaming. You're going to other places. You're thinking about, when is this going to end? Or I want to go eat something. So you lose your interest. Yes, so your attention goes somewhere else. But when your attention goes somewhere else, in what time, in what place does your attention go somewhere else? When you're daydreaming, from where are you daydreaming? It's always here. So your attention could be here on me speaking, or your attention can go somewhere else that you're bored, but you're still here, because you can never be anywhere else but here. And that's because there is nowhere else but here. So in this understanding, you realize that, okay, I'm here, and now in here, these emotions, depression, desperation, jealousy, happiness, joy, they come and go. But to whom do they come and go? Who's the one who's observing it? Who's the one who's taking a note? Because when you're happy, you tell yourself, oh my God, I'm so happy. Okay? You're taking a note from being happy. Who is this person who's taking a note? And then when you're sad, you say, oh my God, I'm sad. I'm really like down. Okay? Who is this person who's taking a note from it, that is observing happiness and it's observing sadness? It must be a neutral place that is not affected by happiness or sadness. Its only job is to take notes and to be aware. And that's who you are. That's the part you want to find. It's already inside you. All you have to do is shift your attention on the emotions that they're up and down and up and down to the part that is observing it. And slowly, slowly change your identification from the emotions that come and go to the one who's observing it. And during this process, the mind becomes very quiet and stillness comes. Like, you're still, you're quiet, you're aware, but you're not involved. You could be involved physically, you know, if something goes wrong in your house. I don't know, your 12-year-old fell down and broke his arm. So yeah, you're gonna attend them, rush them to the hospital and have him taken care of. Yeah, there's a physical involvement, but there is no emotional involvement. There's no mental involvement. There's no story coming with it. You are free from the story, and you need to get free by the story of yourself. How did I start this? By what? How did I start this conversation? By ups and downs. Ups and downs. I mean, how would you like to arrive at the place within yourself that basically suffering does not happen in your life anymore? You have freed yourself from suffering. And I'm not talking about by taking a lot of medications or alcohol or whatever to numb it. No, I'm talking about arising to a different place that suffering is no longer exist. Can you imagine life without suffering? Can you imagine life without fear, worry? Most of us cannot, but it's possible. A few of us have done it. And so if a few of us have done it, then everybody else can do it.
How many people in the world have done it, Irving? You don't feel
what's that?
Now?
How many people what?
Have managed to be enlightened and not feel fear.
I can't hear you very well. I don't know if it's my speaker or yours. Let me see. Say that again. Let me see if I can hear.
Testing, testing. One,
say
two,
something.
Can you hear me now?
Uh-huh. Okay, good. I can hear you.
Okay. You said that some of us have managed it to don't feel fear. Don't feel feelings.
Some of us have managed what?
To get enlightened, to don't feel fear and stuff, you know? So how many of us in the world have managed it, do you think?
I don't know.
No.
Because throughout the humanity of these trillions of people coming and going, I'm 100% sure. I mean, it has produced a lot of awakened beings. We just don't know them.
No.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter. Let's say I tell you 5,000 or 500,000 or 5 million.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter because, again, it's food for mind.
Yes, that's correct.
Right. The mind wants to know so it can categorize it. Go ahead.
When you, like in your own journey, was there a time where you were going through this process of going within the silence that you, at one point, you wanted to just disconnect from the outer world and just not have to be around anybody for a while?
Okay. Did you hear that, you guys? There was a question came in.
Yes, did
you hear that?
Yeah.
Like in my process, was it a time that I didn't want to deal with anybody in the outside world?
Yeah,
and I wanted to. I have a few different times. But that also, I mean, that's a process. Again, it's necessarily to do that sometimes. Physically disconnect from the world and just dive within yourself. That's why people go in a monastery or they go to an ashram or they go into the jungle or the desert or they live on their own in a secluded place because they want to disengage from other people. However, it's necessarily to do that at one point, but that's still an external isolation. We're isolating from ourselves, from the world externally. And the key is an internal isolation. Not isolation, but internally disconnecting. So maybe first you have to do it externally, but eventually developing it within yourself. That, because for some of us, our karma is to be in the world and be engaged. Like for me, my karma is to be out there, to be teaching, to be traveling and spreading the word and sharing this, transmitting this vibration. My karma could have been easily that I'm to be secluded, living in, you know, a cabin in a forest or somewhere and not really being engaged with people. But that's not the deal. But ultimately, the utter isolation that we use, that we're in silence with ourselves and we're not getting involved with the world, we're not interested in the news, we're not interested in the dramas of our family or ourselves, eventually should lead you to an internal freedom, that you get to a place that it doesn't matter where you are. So you have to come to town to go do shopping, or you have to go to the bazaar or the mall, and still that silence, that tranquility, that peace goes with you wherever you go. Because a lot of times when you go in isolation by yourself and you go into silence Let's say you created a situation. Let's say I found a cave, or that's an extreme side, but let's say I can manage living in a cabin or a farm somewhere all by myself. Nobody's around. I don't have to deal with anybody. Maybe, I have a couple of employees that they're taking care of the cattle and horses or chickens and preparing food. So I don't have to talk to them, but I'm in silence. I'm in my own space. And maybe I can manage that doing it. And I'm going, but what happens is I'm going into isolation and I'm taking my conditionings with me, my spiritual conditionings of what it means to be in isolation, what it means to not talking to anybody, and what does it mean to meditate. So a lot of times when we go in isolation and we disengage from the other people in the world, we're also taking our conditions with us and what it's like to be spiritual. So that could be a trap too. But I can also see, and the history has proven, that a lot of the masters and the big ones, we heard their names at one point in their journey, 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years, they have disconnected from the world and they've gone into silence. That too happens. Hi, Renata. Nice seeing you. So when we're talking about disengaging from the world, from the news, from the blah, 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 from da-da-da-da, is, again, it's external, but the key is to help you by disconnecting from the world, from the stories, from blah, 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 and all these different things that's happening in the world, all the news, doesn't matter what country you come from or, what triggers you. Your identification to whatever, whether your identification is to your nationality, or you have a very strong identification between being a man or woman, so you become a feminist, or you have a very strong identification about saving the environment, and you get really upset when the environment is being destroyed, or 5G, towers for cell phones, or protecting the animals' rights, or whatever. And this is like you really identified with it, with the world, in the world. And you get really ramped up and angry, and you have to go out there and really demonstrate and fight against it to bring justice to this world. So it gets your mind activated, and it brings you into an engagement with the third dimension, and you're trying to fix things in the third dimension, rather than as the wise man, people who fall into silence, they go deeper in stillness and silence, they don't get involved with these stories, they avoid getting involved. And you may come and say, well, that's very ignorant, it's very like selfish. I mean, in a way, you're absolutely right, but in a way, that's the path that you have to go through by learning to ignore what's going on in the world. You're aware of it, but you're ignoring it because you realize the world that you are trying to fix is really an animation and a creation of a projected mind that you have developed. So it's not the world you want to fix, is you want to slow down the process of the speed of your mind. You want to slow down your mind. So by becoming more quiet and going into stillness, that world that you're really trying to save kind of disappears, or it becomes unimportant, or it loses its power over you. And it loses its power over you not because you're ignorant, but because you begin to get a glimpse of the world, the real world, that doesn't change. The one that is always still and silent. And you start noticing this part. And by noticing this part and identifying with it, you realize the one that you're trying to save and change and fight for is not real. It's a projection of your mind. It's not real. So you're wasting your time trying to fix it. So all these years, all this attention, all this energy that goes into saving the world or whatever, fixing things, then you realize it's just wasting your time. Because you're the one who needs to be fixed. Because the world that is happening in front of you that you don't like is because of your own mind. So it's your own mind you need to fix. And since you can't fix the mind, then you need to go around it and realize that your mind doesn't exist. It's thoughts. Thoughts and emotions come and go. Sometimes an emotion triggers the thoughts. Sometimes thoughts triggering the emotion. And it's happening in a mechanism that you call your body. But the more you become still and you become silent, means you're coming into the wisdom. The more you realize, the more you start seeing that the difference between an ignorant person, the difference between an ordinary person, the difference between someone, it doesn't matter, even they do spiritual work, they're still believing that the world of mind, your thoughts, are yours and they're real, which the yoni, the awakened one, may have the same thoughts and the same emotions, but they don't pay any attention to it because they don't claim it as mine. And this is so simple. The teaching is so simple. It's free. What do you have to do for it? But since it's so simple and it's so easy and it's free, naturally your mind comes and says, oh no, I need to work. I have to get up early in the morning, do meditation and penance. I have to suffer. I have to deny myself the pleasures of the world. I'm not worthy enough. I'm not good enough. And you postpone your freedom to another time because it's so clear and so easy and it's free, but it's here. It's like some really free stuff, for example, right? Like I'm in Toronto, I'm in the country, and I go for a drive. And there's so many like landscape of lush grass and parks and places like that. So beautiful. Water, warm sunshine, flowers. And so let's say you go with your friend or you go by yourself and spread a blanket and you lie there and you take some grapes and some cheese, maybe a little bit of wine, and you have a picnic. Birds are singing for you. You're just lying down there. You take a nap. You can take your book with you and read a book, or you can listen to some music. And when was the last time you went on a picnic? A very easy one in the country. And it's one of the most pleasurable, amazing things we can do in our lives. But most people don't. And it's free. And it's free. And once you go do it, say, oh my God, I mean, I can't believe it. Why don't I do this more often? Or maybe you do it by the beach, but you go somewhere beautiful. Yeah, it requires some conditions, like, you know, you need to have a car or bicycle, or the weather's got to be nice. But a lot of times in our lives, it's you know, summertime, spring, you can go picnic instead of going to a fancy restaurant and you have to spend $200-$300 or euros or whatever, or a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of great things too, you know, you can go do fine, but you have to spend money on it, and this is free. Or let's say you have a partner and you come home and you make love to each other. It's your partner and you both want to make love, and you make love to each other every day and you're having a great time, and it's free. You don't have to spend any money if you're both into it and creative and I want to have fun with it, and there's no story, it's free. And it's one of the most pleasurable experiences on the planet. And you literally can have it every day, and we don't do it. But if you look at it, there's a lot of different things that they're amazing, that they help you spiritually, mentally, emotionally, uplifting you and bring you and pointing out your being into the truth of who you are, which is freedom, which is here, which is free, like being quiet, being silent. And we don't notice it, and we don't do it. And a part of it is, yes, it's not in our education, because in our education and our upbringing, freedom, love, satisfaction, acceptance is an object. I have to have a model look and an amazing face so I get attention. I need to be rich, wealthy, famous, so I get attention, so I get the girl, so I get the guy. So I have to have a jet set life, so I'm having fun. I have to have a, you know, it's like I have to get these objects. And yeah, some of them, for some of us, it's very easy to get the objects because it's easily come to you. So you have a successful business, you make a lot of money, or you've been wealthy and healthy, and things come to you. But so many other people, they have to work very hard to have that kind of money or house or fame in order for people come to them and give them what they want. But the reality of it is, it's not any of those things. The truth of who you are is always here. Means you are free. And it's always here and available. It's just a matter of attention. From putting our attention on our past and our stories and all this stuff that we have to work on, to putting our attention on this other part of us. What is this other part of us? Is the witness, the one is witnessing, the one who's silent, and it's not involved. So if it's not involved, then it doesn't have ups and downs, and it's not suffering. So where do you want to put your attention?